today's episode, relationship coach Monica Tanner joins me and Liz to talk about getting what you want in your relationship. We tackle how to manage strong emotions, moving from complaints to requests, and the importance of compassionate curiosity. Monica also shares a four-step framework for getting what you want in your relationship. Monica Tanner, relationship coach and host of the Secrets of Happily Ever After podcast, transforms marriages with simple communication, connection, conflict resolution, and commitment strategies. Her mission is to lower the divorce rate and improve marital satisfaction. Through her engaging podcast, vibrant social media community, and practical programs, Monica's expert guidance has impacted thousands of couples by helping them ditch resentment and roommate syndrome and get back to living their happily ever after love story. We hope you enjoy the show. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast. I'm Dr. Dave here at Utah State, alongside Dr. Liz Hill, our licensed clinical psychologist and therapist. We are bringing you the best we have in research and resources and tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. Today, I am super excited about our discussion. We're going to be talking about how to relate to your partner's big emotions, how to strengthen emotional intimacy, and how to get more of what you want in your relationship. So she's a relationship expert, relationship coach, and podcaster all the way from Eagle, Idaho. Welcome to the show, Monica Tanner.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, likewise. We're so thrilled.
Grateful. Looking forward to this. Hey, let's start things off just a little bit about you. Will you tell us a little bit about you, your background, what got you interested in this area, and why you decided to jump into this big relationship pool related to helping couples?
Yeah. So my name is Monica Tanner. I've been married for 22 years to a super hunky man. We have four kids together. The oldest has left home and the other three are teenagers. So we've got a lot of busy, bustling things happening around here. But I think I've always been really fascinated with relationships. As a young girl, I used to watch all the fairy tales and I used to dance around the house like Belle and flip my hair like Ariel. And I just thought I would meet my Prince Charming and live happily ever after. And interestingly enough, when I turned 12, my parents sat us down and let us know that they were getting a divorce. And I remember thinking, wait a second, that's not how fairy tales end, right? Like, that's not supposed to happen. And so I think at that young age, I really started asking the question, what makes relationships strong and lasting and fulfilling and joyful? And I just kind of pursued that through college and then got married myself and started learning through experience kind of what works and what doesn't. And when my youngest child went back to school, I also started school. I also went back to school to try and get my my marriage and my master's of marriage and family counseling. And I remember getting pretty deep into that program and realizing, I don't know if this is the most effective way for me to help couples. I just felt like therapy was more of kind of a last stop for most people. And I wanted to help them before they got to that. So I used to refer to it as like therapy is kind of for blown engines. And I wanted to be like an oil change. So I wanted to help couples prevent them from getting to that place where they're looking for, you know, this kind of last ditch effort to kind of fix things. And so I just got into the marriage space and jumped in and just started sharing my experience along with the training that I have gotten from different areas. And that's what I've been doing for the last 6 years.
I love it. I wish we had more coaches in this arena, Monica. I love your background and so admire what you've done in this deep dive for couples. What would you say is one of the biggest challenges you see in the couples who come to see you?
You know, it's really interesting. My husband and I started a business 20 years ago when we first got married. And so I do coach a lot of entrepreneurial couples. That's just kind of what we know, what we specialize in. But I think one of the biggest challenges I've seen of the couples that come to see me specifically, they tend to be in kind of the empty nest phase of life where they've kind of, you know, they've raised their kids and maybe they haven't had specific coaching on how to create a really intimate friendship and a passionate partnership while their kids were young and while they were kind of developing. And so now that, you know, their kids are starting to leave the house, their parents are aging, they're looking at retirement, there's all these changes and they're kind of like freaking out, like, wait a second, like, how do we navigate this together as a couple? And so I think one of the biggest challenges that the couples specifically that I see are facing are they've kind of built their family around certain tenets, like their job, their children, and all of that starts to change. And then they're kind of trying to rediscover their relationship together. So that's the majority of the clients that I see.
Maybe they finally have time, right? To focus on their relationship, do you think?
Well, they've probably been putting it off, right? They're like, we'll focus on a relationship when. And then they get to the when and they're like, wait a second. Are we even friends? Do we like each other? Like, who are we? Yeah. I mean, it's a challenge. That stage of life, I think, is just a challenge. Anyway.
It is. So do you feel then that couples wait too late, or does it, you still have a lot of hope in your heart for those couples who are at the empty nest stage?
I definitely have a lot of hope in my heart. And, you know, whenever I have the opportunity to speak to couples, I just tell them, like, please don't wait until, you know, when. A lot of couples say, oh, when our kids are older, or when we're more established in our business, or when we've reached this financial milestone, then we'll start investing in our relationship. And I always say, when could be too late, right? Like, always you need to be investing in all the different stages so that you know how to be a friend to each other. You know how to support each other. Your marriage always should come first. I know you guys teach this, you know, through all the different phases, it's going to look different, but your marriage should always come first. So I do think there's a lot of hope. Most of the time, by the time couples see me, it's the dynamics that they've created in their relationship. So it's a matter of looking at the dynamics and how do we create some healthier dynamics that aren't maybe centered around children or business or whatever else they've kind of oriented themselves around.
It's a dynamic. Okay, very good. And creating new dynamics then, bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, most often you have two great people who are married to each other. The problem is the dynamic in their relationship is not serving them, right? That they're not getting what they want. They don't feel fulfilled. Sometimes they're lonely, you know, whatever it is. And a lot of times it's a matter of just looking at the dynamic between them instead of like, you're wrong or you're wrong. It's just, you know, this is what you do and this is what you do. This is the dynamic it creates. And let's do something different that creates a different dynamic that gets you more of what you want.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. One of those things, speaking of dynamics, it feels like, just give you a little sense too, Monica, that many of our listeners out there today, they're almost a good portion of them are female, between like 30 to 45 ish. And so they're getting there. They're kind of resonating, I think, with what you're talking about with, you know, parents and maybe some of their, children are getting older, so they're getting ready to hit the empty nest phase. One of the things, though, that I hear is this kind of this complaining culture, if you will, this culture of complaining, partners complaining about what they're not getting, or even silently, the silent resentment, you know, what they're not getting. How do you teach partners to ask for more of what they want in their relationship? Oh.
This is literally, David, I'm so glad you asked, my favorite topic to talk about in the entire world, because it's true. And honestly, like, this is what we see in our culture. Like, this is what we see on TV. This is what we saw our parents growing up is just, and it's also the way that our brains are wired. It's just wired to figure out what the problems are, right? Like, that's what your brain's job is, to solve problems. And so a lot of times we're really good as humans, especially women, I will, you know, say that we're good at seeing what we don't want or what we're not getting. And we tend to complain about it, right? Like, oh, he never takes out the trash, or he, you know, whatever, or, you know, she doesn't do this or that or whatever. Like, we're really good at seeing what we don't like or what's not working for us. And what we've been taught, and most of us, all we know is to just complain about it and hope that it gets better, or hint around and hope that somebody picks up the hint, or feel like they should just know. We've been together for all this time. They should just know what it is that makes me happy, right? And so there is a big, big, big problem with that. As you know, is, you know, our spouses are not mind readers. They don't just know what it is that we want, and they don't pick up hints very well. And so what I like to do is teach people this framework of how to get more of what you want in your relationship. And a lot, it's very, very simple. So maybe I'll just lay it out for you. You can ask questions.
Please do. Go for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is a four-step framework that a lot of it comes from my mentor, Terry Real. So I want to make sure to give credit to a lot of this. But the first step in this framework is to remember love. Remember who you're talking to, right? The person that you're talking to is somebody that you love, somebody that you chose, right? Somebody that you want to give the benefit of the doubt to. And the reason why you're speaking to them is because you want things to be better for both of you. So it's really important to kind of set that groundwork before you go into one of these asking for what you want conversations. Remember who it is you're talking to and why it is you're talking to them, right? And it also helps to kind of go through a process to turn your complaints into requests. So a lot of times, like, I don't like that they're not helping around the house, or I don't like that she's not into sexual intimacy, or whatever it is that you're complaining about, underneath that complaint is more than likely a request, something that you actually do want, a desire that you do have, right? So that's the first step, is to remember love and make a and think about what it is that you really do want from your spouse. Like, how can they do something that would be better, right, in the situation. Number two is, Terry Real calls it dare to rock the boat. I call it get your spouse's attention, right? There are good ways and bad ways to get your partner's attention. You could just pounce on them right when they come through the door after a stressful day at work, or when they're in the middle of some project that they're very focused on, right? So that those would be not good times to get their attention. You want to make sure that you're at a time where you're calm and collected and you can ask for what you want, and that they're in a good place where they can be open and receiving to whatever it is that you're talking to. So I suggest that, you know, you go up to your partner and you say, hey, I have something really important I would love to chat with you about. Is this a good time? Or could we find a good time in the next couple of days where we could really sit down and talk about, and you can kind of hint at what it's about, maybe the way we are disciplining the kids, or, you know, what we're each contributing to the household duties, or maybe something to do with money, right? So give them a little heads up, like, hey, I want to, you know, talk to you about something that's really weighing on me right now, right? And let them prepare themselves too, so they can be open to your request. So that's step two, get their attention. Step three is now to make a loving request. So again, I like to preface this with putting yourself in the I kind of framework, like resist the urge to maybe compare, like, so-and-so's husband does this thing, or even quoting experts, right? It's like, you know, resist the urge to be like, Monica Tanner said we should be doing this, right? I want you to, when you make your request, you want to keep it in your experience. You're explaining your experience to your partner and asking for what you specifically want. So it doesn't have anything to do with anybody else, right? So an example of that would be something like, I'm really feeling overwhelmed right now. I feel like there's a lot on my plate with both of us working and taking care of the kids. I would love some more help around the house. So that's a request, but now I want to help you make it a better request, because that's pretty generic. Like, help around the house, what does that even mean, right? So the best requests have two very important factors. They're behavioral and specific. So what would more help around the house look like? So this would be something like, hey, I would love it if maybe 3 times a week you could be in charge of kitchen cleanup after dinner, so that I could have a little bit of extra time to help the kids with their homework, get them to bed on time, work on this project, whatever it is, and then let them know the impact that would make. So like I said, that would give me the opportunity to do this thing. And then maybe we could spend some time together after the kids are in bed when we're not both so exhausted, right? So that's how you make a really good request. You keep it in the eye. And your behavioral and specific. So your partner, you're teaching your partner exactly how to come through for you, exactly how to win, right? Because if they win, you win. And if you win, they win, right? And so you're remembering your partnership and this request is going to be good for both of you. And so that's how you lay it out. And then the fourth and final step is to make it worth their while. So that means you're going to recognize and acknowledge progress in whatever form, big or small. So let's say you made that request about helping clean up dinner 3 nights a week. And the next week, your partner did it on Tuesday. They cleaned up after dinner, but on Wednesday and Thursday, it didn't happen. So this fourth step, what it looks like is, hey, thank you so much for cleaning up the kitchen after dinner on Tuesday night. That was so helpful and I really appreciate it. I would love it if we could also do that on Wednesday and Thursday. That would help me out so much. And then here is the key question that really brings it home is what can I do that would help you be able to do this for me, right? That really, really helps. You might get an answer like, hey, could you text me beforehand, like on Wednesday and Thursday, and say, hey, just a reminder, you're on dishes tonight. Or you might get something like, you know what? I sat down and I forgot. So, you know, if you could just remind me to get up and do the dishes, that would be awesome, right? So your partner now is going to tell you how you can work as a team so that you both get this beautiful request done, right? And the most important part about it is that you recognize the progress, even if it's small. So that's it. That's the 4-step framework of how to get more of what you want. You've got to remember love. You've got to get their attention. You've got to make a really good request. And you've got to acknowledge any type of progress. Acknowledge and celebrate the progress towards that.
I think my favorite of those 4 is really the first one. Remember love. It's so easy to forget, right? I remember once my husband said to me, we were upset with each other about something, or maybe I was upset with him. It's probably more like it. And he said, hey, wait a minute. Liz, remember, I'm on your side.
Right.
I'm on your side. And that's all he had to say was like, oh my gosh, I kind of forgot who you were for a minute. We kind of do. It's like, I forget how much I love this person, this human being, and how much I think of them anyway.
Yeah. And remember that the reason you're making the request is to make things better for both of you, right?
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
Sometimes it just feels like we're making all these requests, right? We as women especially, we're kind of the home improvement committee, Monica. Yes. You see that too. And so, so I think that really, it sounds like it's really carved beautifully. It sounds so easy, right? Easy, simple, but
so
we
easy.
Make that so hard. Why do you think we do make this so difficult? This framework, this thing called love.
Yeah, there's a couple reasons why I think we make it so hard. The first reason is what we just talked about. I think when we're not getting what we want, it's hard to remember love, right? We go for so long without actually asking for it. We think we're being, you know, a great partner by just letting it all go. And that creates a lot of resentment, which a lot of times comes out sideways. So it's hard to, you know, when we notice that something could be better or we're not getting something out of the relationship, we tend to kind of pull back and resent, and you know, we tell ourselves that we're just accommodating, or you know, we're just accepting the way things need to be. When I teach couples, like, if you want to keep that passion alive, you want to keep that friendship alive, you're actually doing yourself a disservice by not saying something when you don't like the way things are going. I want you to lean in. I want you to always be fighting for what you want, what you need in the relationship, because that's a gift to both of you. And so I think that's one of the challenges. And another challenge, here's another challenge that I see very often. And Terry Real calls this reception transmission work, because when partner A asks for what they want, this is why step four is really important. Partner A asks for what they want. Partner B starts to give it to them, and partner A will start to discredit it. Oh, well, I had to ask for it, so it doesn't mean as much. Or, you know, it's really hard and is really vulnerable to actually accept that our partners want to give us what we actually ask for. So you've got the initial challenge of asking for what you want, and then you've got the secondary challenge of actually accepting your partner's attempts receiving it. Yes, yes. It is a challenge for us as humans, and I'm not really sure why.
So,
it's so much easier to be the giver, I think, than the receiver. I would just, that is just human nature, I suppose.
Yeah. Are there other challenges? I mean, once kind of they, you know, they start getting this going and they're getting more of what they, want, do you see other challenges that they bump up against, or is it like, hey, now smooth sailing from here on out?
Yeah. Well, I think that reception transmission work is actually very, very difficult for a lot of people, like too little too late, or I had to ask for it, or I really think it sounds kind of silly, but it is a huge, huge, huge challenge that when you actually start getting more of what you want in the relationship, people tend to find ways to discredit it, or you know, minimize it, or so that is a really, really big challenge, which I really do suggest that you find somebody who can kind of guide you through this. And doesn't have to be a forever thing. You don't have to put yourself in therapy for years, but sometimes just having a little outside perspective. I always tell couples, you can't see the label from inside the bottle. And so, you know, partner A has their stuff and partner B has their stuff, and it mixes, and partner A and partner B are inside of this dynamic, and it's really hard to see what partner A and partner B are doing. And so if you have like a good third party neutral perspective to kind of hold up that mirror and say, well, now partner A, partner B is giving you exactly what you asked for, and you know, you're having a hard time accepting it. That's really helpful for people.
As these emotional beings, Monica, a famous scholar once said, fish swim, birds fly, and people feel. And that's what sets us apart and makes us human, our emotions. What do you teach couples about how to deal with each other's strong emotions, those big emotions that come up?
Yeah. So this is probably a whole nother interview. We could go into this statement that is what I like to say, compassionate curiosity about your partner's subjective reality. It is a really, it's a really important phrase, because here's when big emotions get really tough. I say there's two scenarios in which it's really, really, really hard to deal with your partner's big emotions. And that is A, when you don't understand them, when they seem, you know, too big for the situation, right? Like maybe your partner is triggered or they're reliving some sort of trauma and you don't understand it. That's really, really difficult, right? We try to minimize it. We try to defend against it. A lot of us as humans, like it makes us uncomfortable when other people are having big emotions, right? And so we think that we're helping them, but really we're trying to make ourselves more comfortable. Like if you would just calm down, right? Everything would be okay. So that's number one, is when you kind of don't understand where that emotion is coming from. And then the second scenario is when their negative emotions are directed towards you, right? Of course, we want to defend against it. We want to like, what? Don't talk to me like that. We want to, you know, one up and control it, or like slip underneath it. And so part of this remembering love, it's a big concept, is coming to your partner from same as, right? Not control over or control under, but control with. Right. And so this is where that saying that I say all the time is, don't jump in the pool. So when your partner is having big emotions, we get pulled in and we think we've got to either match their emotions, or we've got to control their, cover them up, or slide underneath them. And what it looks like to not jump in the pool is A, this compassionate curiosity about each other's subjective reality, which means I see that you're having a big emotion and I don't understand it. So I'd like to, right? Tell me more about what's happening with you right now. Right? Or another thing it might look like is if maybe your partner is coming at you. So this is the famous example that Terry Real always gives is, you know, maybe your partner's yelling at you and the compulsion, like our natural reactions are either to don't talk to me like that kind of control over, or to just, you know, duck your head and let him finish control under. Right. But control with looks something like, hey, I really want to hear what you're saying. It sounds like you have something really important to tell me and I'd love to hear it, but I'm having a hard time because your voice is so elevated. So could you bring it down a little bit so I can really understand what you're so passionate about right now, right? That's what it looks like to really show love, show some compassionate curiosity to kind of, Terry loves to say, you can be powerful and controlling, or you can be connected, but not both. Right. So there's this loving power that looks more like, hey, I love you. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt here, even though you're yelling at me and I don't want you to yell at me. Right. So we don't want to ignore the fact that they're yelling at us, but we don't want to yell at them back if they don't talk to me like that. We want to say something like, I really want to hear what you're trying to express to me right now, but I'm having a hard time because of the way you're talking to me. So can you bring it down a notch so I can really understand what it is that you're trying to convey right now?
I love that. Compassionate curiosity. I love that. Yeah. And so, I mean, just kind of thinking in my head that jumping in the pool, it's like, hey, I'm an emotional mess and I want you to get in here with me, but nothing really good happens when both of, right? And it's the Gottman cycle.
Exactly.
Going
and we see that dynamic, not just in our marriage. I mean, it's in our marriage, right? But we see it with our teenagers. We see it with our two-year-olds. We see it with our coworkers, right? A lot of times people have big emotions about things that we don't quite understand. And it's very simple to just jump right in with them. They're yelling at you about something and you're yelling at them back and then nothing happens. You're both, I call it flailing around in a shallow pool, right? They're not drowning. They're just having a big emotion. So you can either jump in the pool with them and then you're both sopping wet, or you can stand on the side and offer them a towel like, hey, I see that you're having a big emotion over there and that's okay. That's a human, you know, and at some point they're going to realize that they're just in a shallow pool, that they're not actually drowning, and they'll get out and there you'll be with this towel, right? So we don't have to match the big emotions that we see others having, right? It's easy when it's a two-year-old. Like, we're not going to jump down on the ground and start, like, you know, throwing a fit with them. But when we see our teenagers do it and our spouse do it, like, it's easier to be like, well, what the heck is your problem? Why, you know, why are you blah, 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 right? And it's much harder to take a deep breath and go, okay, wait, they're flailing around in a shallow pool. They're not in any type of danger. I don't have to deal with the situation right at this moment. I'm going to just stand here, take a couple breaths. Maybe they'll match my energy and come out to meet me, right?
They're in pain, right, Monica and Dave? Awesome. I often say to my clients, pain makes us insane. I mean, I really can't, I can't think straight, speak straight when I'm in pain, and neither can my partner.
And you need somebody to be able to witness that, right? Like, you need somebody to be able to witness that and just love you through it and say, hey, it's okay that you're in pain. I'm here for you when you're ready, right? Like, that's that compassionate curiosity. I want to know more about that. Like, I'm not going to yell at you and shame you and like all the things. Like, clearly you're in pain and I want to be here for you.
And I have this soft, warm, fuzzy towel to wrap you up in, right? Dry you off. It's quite beautiful. You also, Monica, have a great podcast called Secrets of Happily Ever After. Please tell our listeners and viewers more about that and also other information about all the great resources and information you offer.
Oh, thank you so much. for asking. So yeah, so I'm easy to find. My website is just my name, monicatanner.com. And there you can find information about my podcast, which is really, it's about 6 years old. And what I started doing was getting really curious about couples who have been married over 50 years. And so I started just interviewing experts and couples who've been married 5 decades or longer, and just trying to extract out the secrets of living happily ever after. And so that's kind of the idea behind the podcast. It's my own experiences and the experience of others that I've learned, just trying to teach people those secrets. And then also on my website, you can find the Passionate Marriage Club, which is just a very low cost membership where couples come together and learn trainings, kind of like Don't Jump in the Pool and all these like little things that just kind of help with your relationship. And it's amazing group of couples. Everybody is just working on becoming intimate friends and passionate partners with each other. And then I also do offer the 101 couples coaching. So
That's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll put all these resources in our show notes, listeners, so you can go and check all those out. Great resources that Monica is offering. Monica, before we let you go, we like to ask our guests two questions. The first one is, what do you feel is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
I was like ready for that question and then not ready for that question. I really think, especially based on what we're talking about, is to recognize the gift that you're giving your partner when you continuously fight for more of what you want in the relationship. I think it's really easy to get complacent. It's really easy to trick yourself into this idea that you're just accepting, you know, what is, but you're really doing each other a huge disservice if you're not constantly asking for what it is that you want in the relationship. And there's so much psychology to that. But the reality is if I'm happy, you're happy. If you're happy, I'm happy, right? And so we've got to teach each other how to treat each other. And it doesn't have anything to do with what your relationship looks like or the neighbor or our parents or anything like that. This is our story. This is our relationship, right? And how do we want it to look? We've got to be willing to ask for what we want.
Yeah, love it. Absolutely. Second question is, we call it our takeaway of the day. Is there a message or a takeaway that you hope listeners will remember from our discussion today?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't touch on this hugely, but you get to decide. You can't always control your circumstances in life. Like, you can't decide if it's going to rain. You can't decide, you know, there's a lot of things that you can't control in this life, but you can always control your experience inside of your circumstances. So this is a big lesson I learned from Viktor Frankl, a Holocaust survivor. And I just really love this idea. And I find it to be a law of connection, kind of like matter is governed by the laws of gravity. You don't have to know that if I throw this pen up in the air, it's going to come down. But if I do know it, it makes life a lot more predictable. It's easier to know what's going to happen, right? And so if you understand that you have full control over the experience you're having in any given circumstance, you become way more powerful. Empowered probably is the right word. You become way more empowered to fight for the things that you want in this life when you understand that you may not be able to control all the circumstances, but you can control your experience. And so asking for what you want is the best way to really empower yourself to have a fantastic life, even if the circumstances are unfavorable.
Love it. Thank you, Monica. Liz, what about you? What's your takeaway of the day from our discussion?
I love that Viktor Frankl book, Monica, Man's Search for Meaning. Classic, right? It's powerful for how we live our lives and even how we show up in relationships. And I think that is so interesting that this idea of asking for what we want or what we need, it's really quite a compliment to our partner that I want us to have it all. Right? I don't want to settle for mediocrity. I really want to climb for that and reach for that top echelon of a happy marriage. And that means both of us showing up So I love that. That is definitely my takeaway. Dave, what about yours? What's your takeaway with our time together with Monica Tanner?
Yeah, I love the, you mentioned my favorite word, Monica, and that is compassion. I love the idea of this compassionate curiosity. I've never heard it quite put like that. Getting compassionate and being able to, instead of reacting to these emotions and behaviors, respond to this underlying need. Like, what do they need right now? Because yeah, we can go all the day long out here with emotions and behaviors, but getting compassionately curious about that, not in a, I'm holier than thou and I'm not going to jump into this because I'm not that type of a person, but genuinely compassionate, getting curious, really wanting to understand then and to hear that, to hear what they need rather than reacting to their emotions. You have very powerful. So thank you. Wow. We've sure enjoyed our time, Monica. Thank you so much for taking time to come on and join us here at the Stronger Marriage Connection today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime. This has been so fun.
Yeah, such a fun experience. All right, our friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Stronger Marriage Connection podcast. We'll see you next time.
And keep doing great things in the world, Monica. And remember, dear listeners and viewers, it's the small and simple changes that create a stronger marriage connection. See you next time.
See you. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org. where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.